Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Hi and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. We are on episode 33 and joining me as always is producer Dodds. Hi Dodds.
Hey, so before we get into the submission admission, because in this one I get called out for just saying the word hey, which I just did then, I just realised. For every intro. So in the last episode, for anybody that didn't hear, the last few episodes actually, we've been trying to come up with something cool, or I use the word cool loosely, something funny that just a better intro than hi. In the last episode, we said that we'd come up with a fun fact about the number episode that we're on. So mm-hmm. there was something about the amount of teeth that we have is 32, and that was episode 32. 33, it could be the number of the episode of this podcast that this feature gets kicked out, because I couldn't find any fun facts. But I found out that in mathematics, it's the largest positive integer that cannot be expressed by the sum of a different triangular numbers. And if anybody can repeat that back to me,
or knows what it means,
or knows what it means, I can also tell you it's the sum of the first four positive I'm not even going to try and pronounce that one. And I can also tell you that it's equal to the sum of the squares of its digits of its own square in the bases of 9, 16, and 31. No idea what that means. I might have just offended somebody in a different mathematic language.
I'm bamboozled.
And that'll probably be the last time we do that. So that's nice. Okay, we'll just go back to hey next time.
If anyone's got a better fact about the number 33, please let us know.
I doubt it, but I'm open to suggestions. Probably should go back to high in the next one, but
no, I quite like
it. Thank you very much for your admission submission.
First things first, I'm going to read out. We've had a few new reviews, and I couldn't pick my favourite, so I've picked two. So I'm going to read two out to you now. First one is from Adam M. Great podcast. Really enjoy listening to these. Gets my mindset set for the day. The honesty and openness is great and something that more people should abide by, as it's also good for your mental health. Keep up the great work. Oh, perfect. Well, thank you for
We're
that.
We're good for people's mental health.
I'm hoping that we can continue to improve your mental health and well-being through this podcast. Hard job will be done. My other favourite one from the week is from Tiffany. Tiffany, RATC. I really enjoy listening to this podcast on my morning commute. It gets me ready for the day. The business episodes are my favourite. As a young woman at the start of her career, it's great to learn more about business topics and also the news. Please keep doing the business episodes. Well, I hope you listened on Wednesday, because that was the business episode. I'm hoping that you got quite a lot out of that, because we were very proud of that one. We talked a lot about different things that had happened in the marketing world. So I'm hoping that you found that useful as well.
Best of luck with your career, Tiffany.
Yeah, best
also,
of luck.
Also, is it weird that a lot of these people are on their commutes when they're listening to this? I'm thinking, like, they're listening to it, you know, they've still got toothpaste around their mouth and like they've not really woken up yet. I guess I don't really think about what people are doing when they're listening.
No, it's funny.
They're either
it?
In the gym, or they're like stressed on the drive or on the train.
Yeah. We're like their morning wake up call, which
yeah,
is
maybe
nice.
Yeah, maybe we're on the commute with them.
Yeah.
God, this traffic. Terrible. All right, guys. Tiffany, am I right?
Stick your tongue out of the driver next to you. Give him a wave. Right, so thank you again for that. We will keep reading out our favourite reviews. Moving on is to our admission submission. We do these every week, and I can't thank you enough for sending these in. If you want to join in and ask for my advice on any sort of topic, please go to the website www.katieleeson.com. This one has been sent in by a male, age 22, and the subject reads, I shouldn't say this, but I feel lost. And the message reads, I have been working at a digital marketing agency for about 2 months now and I feel lost. Most of the time I don't feel like I belong here, or I have no clue of what I'm doing and simply feel lost. I follow people like Gary Vaynerchuk, Stephen Bartlett, and you. People always talk about do what you love, etc., etc. I have the drive, but I really don't know what I love to do or would like to do for the rest of my life. I'm the type of person that gets bored really fast and can't sit still, especially a 9-to-5 job. I know I am young, but I have no idea what I'm doing with my life and me. What are some of your thoughts on this? By the way, please get Dodds to have a better introduction rather than hi. Well, first things first is I hope you're enjoying the
I don't think we're doing that, really.
About the number of episodes that we are on, the fact that we have 32 teeth in our mouth, and then a load of mathematical blurb
There's
about the number 33.
There's going to be a pub quiz in 6 months' time where that question comes up, and you're going to thank
you. You're going
to
thank you, yes. This is, I can sympathise a lot with this admission submission, to be honest. I think there's a lot of times in my career when I've felt like I don't really know what I'm aiming for or where I'm trying to get to, and I didn't know what the next path was. So I can sympathise. First thing, though, it's, I don't think it's about your age. You say you know you're young. But my first thing that I picked out of your admission submission is the fact that you've only been in the job for 2 months. 2 months in the grand scheme of things is not long at all. I think it takes a good few months to get your head into where you are and what you're doing. So my first bit of advice is, unless it's absolutely horrific and you know deep down that you really don't want to be doing it, make sure you give something enough time to get your head into the place where you are. My second thing that I would say is, we do talk a lot about doing what you love, and there's always going to be parts of a job that aren't going to be your favourite. There's always going to be things that you've got to do. There's always going to be admin work. There's always going to be things that you would rather not do. But if you feel like you've got your reason for being and you love to get up and out of bed in the morning because you love the place, whether that's the culture, whether that's the work, whether that's what you're doing in your role, then that is doing what you love. It doesn't have to be that you are completely in love with every single task that you're doing within the day, because those tasks are going to train you up to be better and progress you forward. I don't think I ever had a final goal of where I wanted to get to, and I still don't think I do, but what I've done is I've taken learning opportunities as I've gone along in order to put me in places where I'm enjoying what I'm doing and I'm constantly developing myself, and that by in its nature has led me to the path of being a managing director. You would have asked me 3 years ago, before I started at Social Chain, would I be a managing director now? No, I would never have said yes. So I think it's more about finding what you enjoy and then taking every learning opportunity you can to make yourself the best version of yourself in that role for me. I think one of the biggest lessons that I am still constantly learning about life is that things can change in an instant. You can think that you're on one path and you think that you're going to get somewhere and you think that you know what you're doing and your life's set out for you, and then in a moment it can change. And I think at 22, when you're just starting out, you're in a couple of months into your job, don't put so much pressure on yourself to know what it is you want to do with your life and where you want to end up. I still think I'm going to be working that out in years to come. I'm 35 this year, and you think that I'd have it straight, and I absolutely don't. Like, I just still don't know what I want to be doing with my life or my career. So I don't think put any pressure on yourself, because take each day as it comes. You can't predict the future. There's some really good sayings in meditation and Buddhism that you can't impact what's going to happen in the future. You can never predict it. All you can deal with is the here and now, and that can have an impact on your future, yes, but you can never see what's going to happen. So worrying about what's going to happen today, like worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, in a week's time, in a month's time, isn't helpful for your mental health, because you just can't predict what might come along. So I hope you found that useful, and I hope you now don't feel as lost. I think we're all lost together, so don't worry too much about putting so much pressure on yourself. Our second admission submission of the week is from a female aged 27, and the subject reads, I shouldn't say this, but I'm nervous as hell. I've never really done any public speaking before, and I've been asked to speak in front of over 200 people next month. This reads in capital letters, what do I do? I'm talking about my work, so I guess that's okay, but I don't like the idea of all those eyeballs looking at me. I can sympathise.
You wrote this, I think.
I think this is from me. I've just knocked a few years off the age. I can totally sympathise with this. It's not something that I ever feel comfortable doing. I'm getting there, but it's not something that comes naturally. And the thought of public speaking before I did it absolutely petrified me. So there's a few tips that we have that we're going to share with you today that will hopefully help anyone, this lady, but also anyone else that is in a position where they are speaking in front of people, whether that be 5, 10, 200, it's the same principle. So we're also, because I know this will help me massively, and I'm hopefully that it will help you, we're talking to a body language expert to get them on the podcast to help us delve into this subject a little bit more. So we'll let you know when that's going to be coming out. These are from research that we've done whilst we've been looking at how to answer your admission submission. See, we don't just do it off the cuff. We spend a bit of time thinking about what we're going to say to you. So 8 body language mistakes that people make when they're presenting, and you should think about when you are presenting in front of people, is the movement of hands. Obviously, when you're presenting, you want people to feel like they trust what you're saying and you're confident in what you're saying, and your body language comes into that. It's not just the words that come out of your mouth, it's also how you stand and what you do with your hands. So clasping your hands, fidgeting, holding them together, hiding them behind your back can be a sign to people subconscious that you don't know what you're talking about. So really think about your position of your hands. Putting them in your pocket is also a sign of nervousness, so try not to do that. So our tip for what to do with your hands is have them in front of you and have them kind of open, because that shows that you are welcoming and open and you are confident in what you're saying. So don't cross your arms, because it gives people the feeling that you're unenthusiastic about what you're presenting, which I think I'm protecting myself a little bit when
it's closed,
close my arm.
Yeah. Because this is a vulnerable area, you're protecting yourself. It's the same with the hands thing.
Yeah.
To show yourself, it's not necessarily to show that you're confident, it's to show that you're comfortable with that person, because you're showing them what is a vulnerable area. That's what it is. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Third mistake people make is avoiding eye contact. Looking at your watch, looking at your feet, constantly looking at a screen of the presentation will make you look more nervous and not as professional as it would to look people in the eye. Another one is people have bad posture sometimes when they're presenting, and we all know that bad posture just makes you look weak in your messaging. So aim for a neutral position. Sitting or standing tall like a string is connecting your head to the ceiling, which is a good way of thinking about it. Stretches you out as well, which is good. I like to move when I'm on stage. I like to move around a little bit, so I'm not just stood in one place, because I look a bit robotic. So I like to have a bit of movement, and it just means that you know people are paying attention to you. And then people also forget to smile. I think the way to engage an audience is, and way to bring them into what you're saying, is have a positive, happy face. Bring that smile. If you smile, other people will smile.
Understandable, though, isn't it? Because you're thinking about the slide, you're thinking about the audience, you're
thinking
about your hands.
Thinking about, there's so much to think about.
Forget to smile. Smile is probably the most important one.
Articulation. So I just did it then. So Dodds noticed when I start talking, I always start a sentence with "so." I think it's a thinking point, but I know Dodds has noticed that I do it all the time, and now I have tried to really think about how I articulate my point. I think that we all worry about filling the space of silence when you need to think about your next point, but it shows a real sign of confidence when you just take a pause for a second. It can have real dramatic effects as well in what you're saying. It doesn't make you look like you don't know what you're doing, it makes your point even stronger. And then finally, my final tip is practice makes perfect. Practice for me is the most important part of doing any talk. I have to rehearse. If I stand up there and I've not rehearsed and I don't know what I'm saying, I will fall at the first hurdle. My main tip that I got told once, though, that I really want to share with you, is that nobody knows what you're saying. So as soon as you get on that stage, if you forget one word, don't let it stop you in your tracks. Don't beat yourself up for it. Nobody knows what you were going to say. So just gloss over it, carry on, and crack on. And I'm sure you'll be absolutely fine. Once you've done one, you'll want to do more. The next segment of our podcast is my personal admission of the week.
It's only fair, I guess, if people put in their admissions that
I provide my own.
It's only fair.
I ermed.
That's what we're going to try and do now for the podcast.
We're going to try and not erm.
No more ums and ahs. Starting from...
Now.
No.
I took part in a speed mentoring event about 2-3 weeks ago. I'd say. I can't even remember when it was. Not important. No one really needs to know the date of it because it's in the past. But I took part of in a speed mentoring event, and the questions that were coming out were mainly around how do I find the time to do anything outside of my job? So how do I take time out for downtime when I am so busy? Which is a very good question.
It is a very good question.
And it's something that I've thought about since I've done that speed mentoring, because obviously there's some things that I'm going to dispel some myths to start with. It looks like I don't stop. So it looks like I am in work, we're doing the podcast, we're also recording videos, we're doing this, we're doing that, I'm on stage, I'm talking.
And your full-time job as well.
And I've got a full-time job. And I have a life. I earned.
Maybe there needs to be some sort of punishment for every
But
when we go out, there'll be one shot of tequila for every
Oh, no, I don't like tequila.
Don't then, would be my advice.
But the reality of it is we are very efficient with our time. So we record both podcasts on a Tuesday morning, and within that we get all of our content for the week for LinkedIn and Instagram. Because of that, it means that the rest of my week can be focused on actually doing my day job. And then when I go home, I don't have, like, I've got the downtime then to be able to kind of chill. How do I make sure that I have downtime? I've talked a lot before about how I watch really crappy TV to turn my brain off. That's not changed, and I don't think it ever will, even though I did watch Game of Thrones last night, even though I've not really watched any of the others, and I watched the first episode of the new series. I've come into this in a really random way.
Yeah.
But I just did. I wanted to be part of what people were talking about.
You don't want to miss out?
No. Didn't want FOMO. Yeah, and then I also obviously go to the gym. So the gym is a big part of my routine in order to de-stress. And I've started a 6-week yoga course.
So
bring some zen into my life.
AF.
Yes. So this isn't a rant about how I... Oh, not even a rant. Let me start that again. This isn't just a, like... This isn't just me talking about what I do and how I just sit and watch rubbish telly in order to switch my brain off. There are real scientific reasons about why taking downtime has an impact on your productivity levels.
Are you telling me scientists suggest watching
Real Housewives
terrible TV?
Yep. Stress can have such a really bad impact on the body. The body's designed to take a certain amount of stress, but not over a prolonged period of time. So what can happen to us when we're in a stressful job or a conflict-ridden relationship? That can turn from stress into chronic stress, which can have real bad health problems. I've talked before about my migraines and how they've come about, and that was definitely from chronic stress. And I have to really look after myself now, which is why I need to take the downtime in order so I don't get the migraines. One thing that we really recommend here is that people take breaks when they can, and there's a survey that we found that states that lunch breaks are super important to your health. And a recent study that was taken place at a call center stated that 50% of employees who took a short and regular break upped their performance by 33%, which is a massive increase in performance from doing something that you probably feel a little bit guilty for doing. Because you spend a lot of time in the day thinking that you've got to look like you're the most productive, most busy, and getting the most out of your job. But actually, if you just took 5-10 minutes just to take a walk around the block, one, it can increase your creativity, but also science has now proven that it increases your productivity as well. So it's having a benefit on your mind and your output. So everybody, make sure you take lunch today. Think about that. You're in the commute, you're on your way in, you're either in the gym or you're in the car. Think about what you're going to do for half an hour at lunchtime. Make sure you do it. I want to know about you, what you've done in your half an hour off. There's something that I want to share with you now, which is a theory that I credit with me becoming managing director of Social Chain. When I was trying to find out my reason why, when I was doing my presentation for the MD role, And I was trying to really think about why I'd got to where I'd got to and why I should get that role and what impact I can have on the people at Social Chain. I came across a theory about... So a Japanese theory about something called an ikigai, which Dodds keeps joking, it's not one of those men in a club that you don't want to go near. It's actually your reason for being and your reason for getting out of bed in the morning. I've talked before about when I started out in my career, I absolutely loved work. Every day I could not wait to get in and see what the day was going to bring. It sounds really cheesy, but it was really, I just loved it. It was so much fun. Every day was a new challenge. I loved what I was doing. I was having fun doing it. And then there was a point in my career where I really lost that and I lost my oomph and I lost my reason for getting out of bed in the morning. And in that, everything just becomes so much harder. Life becomes harder. Your relationships become harder. Trying to get anything done just becomes more difficult. And I've come across this thing called an ikigai. And it's a Japanese theory that I'm now going to talk you through that will hopefully help you. And it's come from... there's a group of islands in Japan which are home to the longest living people on the planet as a group. And they all live over 100. And that's not just because of their lifestyle and what they eat. It's because they have their ikigai set. So do you want to know the secret to live to 100 and beyond? I'm going to share that with you now. Ikigai translates as iki means life and gai means worth. So ikigai translated into English means life's worth. Let's just take a minute to think about your life's worth. As soon as you start, it's quite deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's four things about the ikigai. Something you love is split up into your passion and your mission. Something that the world needs is your mission and your vocation. Something that pays well is obviously your vocation, but also your profession. And then something you're good at is your profession and also your passion. So discovering your ikigai comes from those things, is understanding your place and what you're aiming for, and is meant to bring a sense of fulfillment, happiness, and makes you live longer. So you want to know how to find out your ikigai, I'm going to tell you. You've got to ask yourself the following four questions. What do you love? What are you good at? What can you be paid for now? And what does the world need? You should ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and then do it, because what the world needs is people who come alive. If you feel like you've got a real purpose for why you're doing what you're doing, it's the same as the admission submission earlier. If you're happy and enjoying and you've got a real purpose as to why you get up every morning, it doesn't have to be a long-term vision. It's just for the now. If you're happy and you're getting up and you know what you're doing and you know what you're aiming for that day, that's your ikigai, and your work will be so much better. And your ikigai might not be set forever. It might be that you have it as a moment in time, and it might mold as you develop. But if you keep thinking about those four points, what you love to do, what are you good at, what can you be paid for, and what does the world need, as soon as you start linking those together is your reason for being, and it will help you feel a lot more complete and will help you feel like you can take on anything, and that will help increase your lifespan. The reason why I talked about it in my presentation for a managing director was because I really want everyone within Social Chain to have their reason for getting out of bed in the morning. I know that if you have your reason for getting up and getting out of bed in the morning, you're more likely to put more into the work that you do, and the output will be so much better. If you feel like you are on your path to getting towards your ikigai, you'll put so much more into your day. So I would encourage everyone to try and think about what their reason for being is and what their reason for getting out of bed in the morning is. You don't have to go so deep into it to try and figure out what it is for your life, but even if it's just for today, what's my reason for getting out of bed today? Have you got a task that you really want to complete? Or hey, have you got something that you're really looking forward to that you really want to get done? Or is there a new learning a new skill that you really want to get through? The reason that I talked about the ikigai so much in my presentation was because that I really want everyone at Social Chain to do that. So we encourage people to go out and learn new things, find their passion projects, which we give them time out of the office to do, to really find that self of fulfillment internally and externally outside of the office, in order to make them be more rounded as a person. So ikigai is super important to Social Chain, and I'd actually love to hear what your ikigai is and what you think your ikigai is at the moment. So please let us know. That wraps up our podcast for this week. I really hope you enjoyed it and also found a few tips on how to make yourself just feel better and more alive and just get more out of your day, whether that's taking a break from work or not putting so much pressure on yourself or finding your reason for getting out of bed in the morning. I really hope that these tips have helped, and I would love to hear from you. So please leave your feedback either in review or send us an email or leave us an admission submission at www.katieleeson.com. And we will see you next week. I'm actually on holiday, so we're going to be recording a couple of episodes this week for next week. So please stay tuned, and we will also update you on the next guests that we've got on, which will also help enlighten your life. So we will see you very soon.